Today on Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network, we're going to have a conversation about science and religion. Albert Einstein said, "Science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind." Edward Osborne Wilson, an American biologist, researcher, theorist, naturalist, and author, said, "Science and religion are the two most powerful forces in the world. Having them at odds is not productive." Today, we talk about the working together of science and religion.
Those are the gifts that I have been called to practice and use in my Christian life as I try to actually follow Christ. And so, in particular, the way in which I, as a physicist, feel that I serve God and the Church is to speak precisely to the issues that we're talking about.
And again, those issues are science and religion. Wernher von Braun, a pioneer rocket engineer, said, "I find it as difficult to understand a scientist who does not acknowledge the presence of a superior rationality behind the existence of the universe as it is to comprehend a theologian who would deny the advances of science." That conversation with our guest today is coming up a bit later. First, we'll hear about a more down-to-earth conference happening this summer.
You know, you have conferences and gatherings for teens. You have a lot of activities for the senior population. But for some reason, between early 20s to late 30s, that segment of the population, for lack of a better word, has been ignored.
And we'll hear more about that conference in just a minute. Welcome to our broadcast for this week. If this is your first time with us, we've been having these weekly visits for over 20 years, and you can check out our archives on the OCN website. Just click on the Listen link on the homepage and select Come Receive the Light, and you'll see an option for past broadcasts. That's myocn.net. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus. I'm Mike Trout, and our host leading the conversations today is Father Christopher Metropoulos, the president of Hellenic College and Holy Cross Orthodox School of Theology, and the founder of this ministry, the Orthodox Christian Network.
Churches of all faiths and jurisdictions are finding young adults missing from the church pews. In an attempt to reach out to this age group, a grassroots effort from members of the Antiochian Archdiocese is in the middle of planning their second Orthodox Young Professionals Conference. We've invited today Fadi Madanat and Kira Pelichik to be with us to talk about this. How are you doing?
We're doing great.
Thank you.
Well, the beauty of this interview is you're both in Southern California. I'm in Boston and the studio's in Florida. So that's amazing. Let's go first to you, Kira. What inspired you to be a part of this ministry?
I have been involved in the Archdiocese within the Fellowship of St. John the Divine Ministry for about 10 years and had already chaired three young adult conferences on the West Coast back in 2007, 2008, and 2009. So I knew there was a desire for young adults to be active and involved, specifically once they were beyond college, to be in an environment where they were together, to learn, and just kind of socialize with people from across the country as well. So in 2013, while I was serving on the National Fellowship Board, I brought up at a meeting that while we can't do everything for each of the archdiocese and the young adults, we can do something on the archdiocese level. And so I was actually sitting at our archdiocese convention in the hotel lobby in Houston, and Fadi and I were talking about, you know, we need to do something, and we kind of came up with this conference as an idea, and we just kind of moved forward and kept getting approvals, and that's how it all kind of started. So back in 2013 and had the first conference in 2014 in San Diego, and the intent is to have it every 2 years, so that it doesn't conflict with our Archdiocese Convention, and here we are coming up this year.
Oh, that's interesting. I know that 6 in 10, they say, young adults never return back to the church. So I'm wondering, Fadi, what are young adults looking for today?
So ultimately, what we found is that career-bound young adults are looking for opportunities to grow and lead well-balanced lives. This is true whether you're looking at it from a church perspective or from a secular perspective. The problem that we face within the church community is that these growth opportunities available to that segment of the population have either ceased to exist, they've been inadequate, or not relevant enough to capture interest. So if you take a step back and you consider the life of a young man or woman, they go to college, they naturally go down this path of self-exploration, they're in church less often. When that young man or woman graduates, they're on the job hunt, they're looking to climb the corporate ladder, they're paying off student debt. Their attention remains outside of the church because their minds have basically been trained to associate life building with the secular world. So when the church is not available to these young men and women at such a critical point in their lives, that void can reinforce the general feeling that life building and connectivity to the church are mutually exclusive, which we all know is not the case.
Right.
Kira and I have discussed this issue with many people. Our young adults, thankfully, are very strong in their faith. That's not the issue. The issue is that they feel deprived of the opportunity to really integrate their personal and professional lives within the church in a very meaningful way. And we intend to change that with the Orthodox Young Professionals Conferences.
So is it that they're looking for relevance?
They're looking for relevance, exactly. You know, we polled the attendees at the 2014 conference, and most of the responses we were getting were tied to relevance. You know, you have conferences and gatherings for teens. You have a lot of activities for the senior population, but for some reason, you know, between early 20s to late 30s, that segment of the population, for lack of a better word, has been ignored. And that's
okay.
So it's no surprise that you find less young adults.
All right, let's talk about the conference itself. Kira, I understand it's going to be in New Orleans. Tell us about it and tell us how people can get more information about it.
So it is going to be in New Orleans, Louisiana. We're very excited for that location. It's a destination location that we figured a lot of people actually have never been there or have always wanted to go and needed a reason. And so this was an opportunity to provide that. It is August 18th to the 21st this year, and they can find all of the information in terms of the schedule and the speakers and the hotel information all on our website. It's www.oypc2016.com.
Excellent. Let's talk about activities, events that people can expect to see there, Fadi.
So conference attendees can expect a very exciting social and networking experience. It's going to be balanced with a very strong educational component that we'll have very narrowly tailored for career-bound young adults and young professionals. We're very fortunate that His Eminence Metropolitan Joseph has committed himself to our cause. He was with us in San Diego in 2014. He'll be joining us this summer. He'll address the group and offer an open floor format for Q&A. This was something very appealing to the attendees in 2014 because, you know, they generally have this feeling that our hierarchs are in these ivory towers. But when you see them on the floor and they're fielding any question that a young adult has in mind, whether it's a social question or a theological question, and they can connect on a very personal level, it's very meaningful. Our keynote speaker is Archdeacon Saad Rouhani. He's from St. Mary in Palos Heights, Illinois. Our workshop sessions will be led by Jacob Saylor from Assumption Greek Orthodox Church in Scottsdale, Arizona. Both of these gentlemen have a great deal of experience working with career-bound young adults, and they'll present very practical approaches to working and succeeding in a secular world, how to find that life balance that we're all looking for. Each evening of the conference, attendees gather at very exciting venues that'll allow them to experience the spirit of New Orleans, whether it's at the Bayou or on Bourbon Street, listening to jazz bands. It's going to be very exciting.
Well, I know the food is great on Bourbon Street, and I know there's lots of bars there. So that's not something you want to frequent, but it's a part of life, isn't it? There are many, many detractions in life that are there. But everything done in moderation is always a good thing, is it not?
This is true. And actually what we've done is we've made it so that it's within our group. We actually have a private bar on Bourbon Street so that it's our group just hanging out with each other in the evening. So that way we don't have to go all the way down Bourbon Street. You know, visually, if you want to see it, feel free. But for the most part, we made it a safe environment so that it was with each other, because we know that people would want to see it.
That's good. And it's, and you know, we can't, I have this famous saying, people say I say it too much, but I'll say it now to you folks. The issue of we want to at times sort of circle the wagons and kind of live within our own camp because we're afraid to go out. But that's not what Christ calls us to be. He calls us to be the salt of the earth, to go into the world, to not be of the world, to be in it but not of it. And that will be a challenge there, but it'll probably be a good one, because you're right, as a destination, that's a great place to go. Kira, tell us again where young adults can go to register for the conference. We clearly will tell all our listeners to do this. I think it's a wonderful conference. We wish you the very best about it. And we may even send a reporter there to cover it. We'll see.
That would be phenomenal. We would graciously appreciate that. Everybody can register at www.oypc2016.com. That's where registration is, their hotel. If they are looking for roommates for a hotel, we can actually help set that up and connect people so they can share expenses for the hotel. The hotel we even have offers a breakfast and a dinner. So there's a lot of information on that website, the speakers. There's e-newsletters that go out so they can sign up for that. So all of the information is on our website.
Fadi and Kira, we wish you the very best, every success, and we hope to speak to you, if not during, again after the conference, so we know how it went, okay?
Thank you so much.
That would be great. Thank you. Thank you so much.
That registration location again is oypc2016.com, and you'll find a link to it on our website as well. You're listening to Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network, and we'll have our feature conversation in just a moment. We're a nonprofit outreach and would appreciate knowing that you're out there and that these broadcasts are hopefully having a positive impact on your life. When you go to the website at myocn.net or on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+, just click on the Donate button and then the contact button. Spend some time on the website and discover all of the other features we keep updated to help you with your walk with Christ, your involvement in your church, your marriage, your parenting opportunities, and about 100 other topics that are added to daily. Again, that's myocn.net, and we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. Here again is Father Chris.
It's a pleasure to have Professor Stamatis Vokos from the Seattle Pacific University's Department of Physics on the program again with us today. Welcome, Stamatis.
Thank you for having me on the program.
I know the media likes to make it seem like science and faith are at times at odds. What do you think? What do you think? Are they at odds, Stamatis?
If one reads the newspapers or watches TV, one gets the impression that science and religion are at odds and have to be at odds. There is certainly an element of truth to that, not about science and religion, but if one looks all over the world, one has the sense that people in the street feel that way, and they feel that they have to make a choice between science or religion, and I believe that that is profoundly, profoundly a misconception.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that is because science and religion, on one hand, they have completely different questions that they tackle. One could approach this from the perspective that because they have different questions that they tackle, they cannot be at odds and they cannot be consistent with each other either. I do not go there because I am convinced that God has given us the wonderful gift of reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of our attempt to serve God, we are constantly in awe of His continuing creative power, while at the same time we feel that we partake to some degree in that creativity by trying to find out, to create powerful scientific stories about how the natural world works. And so I feel that
That pursuit is completely compatible with our pursuit as human beings who have been created to worship God.
What I'm finding, Stamatis, is this, that we live in a society now that tries to put us in, I think the Greek word Maya used to use is kalupia, little small holes, you know?
Right.
And those small holes, and then once we're pegged in there, we can't come out and have a discussion. So you're a religious person, you're a scientist, I'm a so-called religious person. And therefore, the two of us can't even sit down and have an open conversation, an intelligent conversation, because the scientists want us over there and the religious people want us on the other side, and they don't realize that there's a lot more in common than we have apart from each other. Am I thinking correctly?
I think you're thinking very correctly. To say that science and religion have absolutely no, there is absolutely no tension between science and religion would be to cheapen both science and religion. But that is a sort of creative tension, I believe. And so one of the issues why society sees that science and religion are at odds, have always been at odds, and will always be at odds, is because of a profound lack of understanding of science.
Mm-hmm.
And because of a profound, in the case of our Christian faith, a profound illiteracy in terms of our own tradition. So, for instance, from the beginning of Orthodox tradition, the fathers and mothers of the church, the people who lived in the desert, the people who tried to make decisions about the compatibility or incompatibility of some statements about our natural world, about a place in the world, about our understanding of the world and our ultimate aim and goal, had to be fluent in the scientific endeavors of the day, as they were, for instance, St. Basil and St. John Chrysostom and St. Gregory were profoundly knowledgeable about the philosophy of the time. To call science what was happening at the time would be an anachronism, because the word scientist and science is only about 200 years old.
Okay.
And so I feel that you hit the nail on the head when you say that some people do not even know how to start having a conversation.
Yeah,
and the
right.
First thing about having a conversation is to approach that conversation with humility. With humility that we all have to learn from conversations with each other about important, vulnerable things.
Well, let's delve a little bit deeper. You are a physicist. I'd like to talk about, since we're talking about witnessing our faith, how can you, in your line, you're an academic, how do you serve God in His church as a physicist?
Well, I am a physicist, but I'm also a teacher of physics. And so I feel that those two professional parts of me are two very important parts of me, and I feel that those are the specific gifts and challenges that God has bestowed on me. And in light of 1 Corinthians, those are the gifts that I have been called to practice and use in my Christian life as I try to actually follow Christ. And so, in particular, the way in which I, as a physicist, feel that I serve God and the church is to speak precisely to the issues that we're talking about. I teach courses, for instance, about what is the relationship between the emergence of science in the West and its interaction with Christianity. How can I use a science education as a vehicle for problematizing that sort of naive idea, as I mentioned, that science and religion have to be at odds? What are the issues at stake? Is it possible that somebody is a humble Christian, a faithful Christian, and at the same time tries to be a part of mainstream science, even part of the cutting edge of science? How can we come alongside students who are struggling with these kinds of issues, for whom these are issues of profound importance? Students who, when they come to the university, statistics tells us a lot of students find that time as a profoundly trying time for their faith. And so how can we do this and help students clarify what is at stake, what the choices are, and help them realize that some of the choices that they think they have from, as I said, naive delving into some of the popular polemic about science and religion, they feel sometimes that that the choices that they have are too limiting, and they can either be scientists or they can be faithful Christians.
Okay.
Another component to that, I should say, is that as one sees the rise from throughout the world of religious fundamentalism, and I find that that science education can be a tool to help hone critical thinking. And I, for instance, my position as a physicist and as a teacher gives me opportunities to go to different parts of the world. For instance, 2 weeks ago, I was at a science workshop in the Middle East with Muslim science teachers, and it is an opportunity that I feel God has placed in front of me, and I see a calling to actually go to parts of the world that are where there is a strife, and to try to think about reconciliation, not reconciliation at a sort of humongous scale, but on a person-to-person-to-person-to-person basis.
All right, Stamatis, let me ask you this question. I wonder if, in your heart, you ever struggle between faith and science. I mean, it's a personal question, and I don't know if you want to answer it, but I think it should be asked. As a scientist, as a physicist, is there anything that you struggle with faith-wise and science at the same time?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely. And I feel that this kind of struggle is a very powerful struggle. It is a struggle that pulls you in different directions in different times. And when I feel that struggle, I feel that sometimes I live too much in my head, and my priest in Seattle, for instance, always advises me to try and descend closer to my heart, to the nous in the desert tradition. And so, yes, I do feel that challenge, but I also feel that that faith without those kinds of challenges can be sterile, can be unproductive. And so at times when I feel these huge challenges, I try to recenter myself, and I try to pray and ask Christ to help me discern his will in that specific challenge for me. Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't have it any other way. It is a hard feeling, it is an unsettling feeling, but it's a very productive, I believe, feeling.
Okay. Thank you very much for actually taking a break from your sabbatical in Cyprus and joining us today, Stamatis.
Thank you very much for having me. It is always a pleasure.
Some powerful insight from our featured guest today on this edition of Come Receive the Light, a broadcast ministry of the Orthodox Christian Network. Thanks for listening today. Do let your friends know that we're on the air. We appreciate your help getting the word out about Come Receive the Light and about the Orthodox Christian Network. Again, I'll remind you that we are a nonprofit outreach. And if this ministry is blessing you, well, then go to our website and share with us that fact. And then, if you can, help support us. The website is myocn.net. That's myocn.net. And we're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. I'm Mike Trout. Our host each week is Father Christopher Metropoulos. We'll be back next week with another broadcast. In the meantime, remember to always have faith in what you listen to.